Today is August 1st, 2025. I'm recording from my hometown grid in the state of Georgia. And it's been a couple short weeks since I officially launched this audio diary project, and so much has been happening in my own internal co-creative workflow since then. I've actually had 3 more episodes just sort of flow and pour through me. They're all a part of the same series, and it's a series that I know, it's on a specific aspect of my destiny that I know is not going to be authorized for release by the Father for at least a couple years, maybe like up to a decade. I honestly don't know. It's a realm of my destiny where I get to really enjoy taking my time. But as these episodes have been coming through so rapidly, and God's been actually training and initiating me into what this real-time narration flow with Him, how that process is actually supposed to go. It's actually a very fascinating dynamic because on one level, it's like there's this big picture tapestry of kingdom life, supernatural life, my past and my present, and the future that's still being woven together. And with this diary, it's like He's just pulling out these individual threads for me to follow. And as I'm speaking and recording these, I can feel myself following that thread. And then there are moments where I'll get kind of lost. I'll be like, oh, did I drop it? And then I pick it back up and I keep going. And once I reach the end of that thread, it's like, that's an episode. And it can happen really simply and smoothly. It's getting more and more easeful as I repeat the process, but it's also got quite a lot of twists and turns. And following that thread, there are these experiences of mine and these seasons of life that I've been through as God's leading me back into reflecting on and speaking on them again, where the thread leads me, it ends up becoming like an entirely new frame of revisiting it and reflecting on it and identifying all these new connections and themes and thoughts that weren't there before, even with parts of my life story that I'm very comfortable with retelling as a testimony. And there's another layer where I can tell that I'm telling it differently in a way that's like specifically coded to serve others. Because of course, this is my personal audio diary, but it's also a service project at the same time. And I've been really adjusting to that and not really being sure how it works. And it turns out that it actually works the same way as me sharing any part of my own life story and experiences just with someone one-on-one or with like a group of people in person or online. I have a sense as I'm retelling it that specific details are being pulled through and specific topics are being pulled through in a way that is very specific to whoever I'm talking to. And the reflection, the feedback I'll get back from that is always, you know, something like, wow, I really needed to hear that right now. Or wow, I had that exact same experience. Or wow, like God's been talking to me about that. God's been teaching me about that. And it's always in ways that it's completely different from retelling to retelling how it comes through in some ways. And so I can tell that God is structuring and framing the storytelling as I go to actually make it of highest service to whoever is receiving it without me actually having to shift over mentally into what's the best way to tell this story, what's the most entertaining way, like what's the way that's going to get the most like buzz or popularity, especially knowing what I know about my destiny and the role that this particular project plays in my body of work, like over a lifetime. Like, it doesn't actually matter how well it does, like on a 3D level at this point in the timeline. The most important thing is just being obedient and just continuing to follow that thread. So that's been my entire focus this entire time of like, how do I stay in my body, stay in my oracle, and just speak from my heart as I'm being led. And that is getting easier and easier and easier. The most recent episode that I did, I was shocked because my recording process is very spacious. It's like I'm just sitting and I'm speaking and I'm flowing in a stream of consciousness. And I usually will just go quiet when I run out of things to say and I'm not really sure where to go next, or I'm just trying to intuitively feel into what the best way is to phrase something or say something. And then there are moments where I get lost and I'm like, where is the thread? I gotta refine the thread. But even with that, giving myself time and spaciousness and just letting it flow through, in this most recent episode, I was shocked because there literally were no, I went and looked back at the transcripts and there were no ums, there were none of those like filler processing words. Not that there's anything wrong with that. And like real casual conversational English, but I could tell that my oracle was just like on another level. I was like, whoa, this is cool, this is new, this is different. So these episodes that are going to be locked up for some time in the vault have been flowing through really smoothly and effortlessly whenever I wake up and God's like, okay, it's a recording day, it's the day you're going to do an episode. And on the contrary, this episode that I'm recording, trying to record for probably like the fourth time today, this one has been a little stubborn. It's been like every time I sit down to record it and follow that thread, it just does not work out. And I've just had to keep taking my hands off of it because the story of this episode is so big. And this is one I know is going to be released probably almost immediately after I record it. And it's like the first full episode of this project, the first full public episode of this project. And I can feel the bigness of it every time I sit down and just like try to press record. And what's been happening is I go through, as my oracle keeps up leveling with the easeful recording of the other episodes, is that this episode, it keeps collapsing out and then upgrading itself. Like, it's literally upgrading. The way that I can tell it is literally upgrading. So I'll record for like 40 minutes just on this one topic, just for this one story, for what's supposed to be this one episode. And then I'll go back and I can feel in my womb, like there's another take that's like actually above this. I'm gonna have to redo it. And God's actually been giving me different frames for this one experience. And as I try to follow the thread of talking through this one experience in multiple ways, like it just constantly keeps up leveling. It's a little bit frustrating, but I'm hoping that this will be the lucky take. When I went to push the button on my computer to record, the software that I'm using, it's called Descript, actually, like there was a pop-up in that moment right before I hit the record button that was like, hey, we have a new version of Descript. Would you like to update? And I was like, that's exactly what's been happening as I try and sit down and talk about this. Like, it just keeps updating and upgrading. So I'm like, I really hope this is finally at the level it needs to be at before I even start, because I would very much like to be done with it. Because I know that this particular story of mine is basically setting the stage for everything else that is to come in this project, because it's a story of the one supernatural life experience that first changed everything for me. It's the one experience that first set me on the path to being initiated into living a supernatural life. And it's the story of my first ever physical miracle that happened to me. That was also the start of this really accelerated spiritual awakening journey for me, because it was an experience I couldn't deny. I couldn't ignore it. I couldn't go back to sleep. And it lit this fire in me of like, I gotta figure out what the hell just happened. So yeah, I'm praying to God that this is the take, that I can finally birth it all the way through and be done with it, because it's really the first big testimony of my life. Okay, I just took a recording break to get a snack, and as I was standing there in the kitchen and eating and walking around the living room, I just got really excited because I could feel the narrative unfolding really clearly in front of me, like way more clear than the other takes, and I can sense this thread. Like, I can feel myself just spot on with following the thread. I know exactly where to go. So I'm very, very, very excited and also trying to stay grounded. So there are two really important points of context that God has been having me touch on just before starting to tell this story. The first one is that this is a testimony, and it's a miracle testimony, but it's not necessarily an encounter testimony. This was not the kind of testimony where someone is really lost and confused or going through a very hard time, and Father God just makes his presence known to them, or Yeshua just appears to them and is like, hey, it's me, your savior who loves you. I'm gonna do this miracle for you. Come and walk with me. It's not a come and walk with me kind of testimony. And it's actually like that on purpose. This was many years before I actually felt the internal calling to explore a relationship with God and anchor into a relational, devotional kind of faith. It just wasn't time yet. There's actually a set time for the calling home to God to ignite within our beings. It's not something that the soul can just free will choose at any point in the timeline, usually, because it's all interconnected with the timeline of your destiny and the role that you play in God's plan for all of humanity. There's actually a set time for that, and there's an appointed time for that. And especially for someone who is living under a spiritual bondage and captivity to either religious faith or spirituality, or even absence of, lack of belief, atheism, whatever the path, if that is like a stronghold on the heart and mind, then no matter how much anyone or anything tries to hit you upside the head with the existence of God and the presence of God and the love of God for you, it's just not gonna work. Because the programming for most people is so strong, the amnesia and the mind control for most people is just so strong that it actually has to be broken off by God himself or Yeshua or an angel in order to get that soul to a point where it actually can free will choose relationship with God and salvation. And I know that's a very different paradigm from how religious Christianity usually teaches salvation and evangelism. But I have a really good personal experience that anchors in this revelation for me. And that experience is I actually had my first encounter with Father God when I was a little girl. And you know, I was raised Christian, but it was more of a cultural Christianity where my family and my bloodline had been very, very, very deep in this religious Christianity that never actually brought them into personal relationship with God or lifted them or delivered them from any of the ongoing suffering in their lives. So like my mom especially, like she grew up in the church, she was volunteering, she was in the choir. Even as an adult, like she was pouring herself into ministry in a counterfeit faith that never actually brought her closer to God and actually got her continually attacked, continually targeted. She went to a Catholic girls' school growing up and had some very traumatic experiences there, which she doesn't even talk to me about. And when I was little, we did go to church relatively often, but she stopped taking me after a while because the people there kept constantly attacking her. So I mainly grew up in this environment where it was understood, you know, God's real, we believe in him, and we thank him for blessing the food at the table on holidays, but that's about it. We're not talking about God, we're not reading our Bible, we're not really practicing religiously as individuals or as a family in any way whatsoever. And so my upbringing ended up being pretty secular when all was said and done. But I remember as a little girl having this experience where I was feeling really sad and alone, and it was nighttime and I was at my bedside, and I remember just praying to God and really wanting to connect with God, connect with a father, because my father had passed away when I was very young. And so my heart was just really yearning for and needing that father. And I remember having this experience where I felt the presence and the fatherly love and peace of God just there with me in the room and pouring into me. And I remember drifting off into sleep, feeling so fully loved and so fully supported and so fully taken care of and so fully cherished. And then from that point, it was like the amnesia, the mind control, whatever you want to call it, came back online super strong, and I completely forgot about it for decades. The exact same presence of God that I feel and commune with, the exact same presence and love of the Father that I am just supernaturally immersed with and cannot live without now here on a daily basis. I remember feeling the exact same thing for the very first time back then and completely forgetting for decades. I did not remember until after I started to have my first big for real encounters with God as an adult. So the miracle story I'm about to tell is a story that is very much pre-encounter and also very much in amnesia around the very early encounter that I did have. It's not a miracle where it was immediately apparent, like, duh, like this is God, like, duh. Obviously, in the experience itself, it wasn't made clear, hey, this is God that's doing this for you. So that's the very first point I need to make. And then the second point of context I want to touch on is that this was absolutely the worst point in my fallen timeline in my entire life. Everything, it was just after I'd graduated college, and everything was so dark and heavy and in complete despair for me. All these different areas of my life were either totally up in the air, no purpose, no direction, or really, really, really bad, really, really, really not going well, really, really, really hard. Physical health was terrible. Mental, emotional health was terrible. Spiritual state was just vaguely exploring, vaguely playing with some spiritual stuff, and having some very early level intuitive gifts come online, very subtle stuff, but nothing truly supernatural. I'd been meditating a lot, and that had helped a little bit with the mental emotional issues, not much. Career-wise, financially, I had no idea where I was going, no idea what direction my life would take from this big transition out of college. And it was just a really heavy time, but I'm not going to talk in detail about what got me there or why I was in this very, very, very low point, because that's how I lost a thread in some other takes. And I think that God is going to frame an episode where I go into would happen for me more deeply, and then how I was supernaturally brought out of it, because this physical miracle ended up being the turning point for a lot of this very deep mental, emotional suffering that I was in as well. But I'm not going to touch on that today because it's just too big. So I'm just going to talk about what happened for me in the physical that was supernatural today. Okay, that's the second point I want to make. So from here, I'm actually going to jump in and start telling the story. So I have had this visual condition pretty much my entire life, ever since I was little. And it's unclear whether it was something that I had from birth or it developed in early childhood. My family first started noticing it around the age of 4, after I had a very severe, very serious, life-threatening fever. And as I recovered, they noticed that after that fever, that my eyes were starting to no longer line up. So they bring me in to the doctor, and the doctor does all the tests and gives them the diagnosis. My eyes were not functioning together as a team in the visual system. There was something wrong first with my optic nerve, specifically on the left side, like a diminishing in blood flow or something similar, to where the vision on that side was being limited and the image being created by that eye was actually lower vision. And there was also something going on the neuromuscular function of both eyes together, where possibly due to an issue or a dysfunction with another set of nerves in the brain, the cranial nerves, the two eyes were not being controlled by the brain and the muscles to look at the same point in space and create a merged picture. And because of the combination of these issues, the very diminished vision in the left eye and the inability of the left and the right eye to come into sync and work together, the end result is that I was functionally half blind. The vision on my left side was limited and not fully usable. And because the images from the left and the right eye were not mirroring and syncing up, I was actually also fully stereo blind. So I was visually seeing and processing the world and my environment around me essentially only through my right eye, and I was also seeing everything completely flat, completely two-dimensional. Now, the science on this has not really progressed much from decade to decade. They took me to multiple specialists in multiple states and got pretty much the same answer. Here are your diagnoses. The vision in the left eye is not correctable by glasses or contacts or anything like that. We can correct the vision in the right eye normally, but she's never really going to be able to use her left eye, and she's never going to be able to see in 3D. And so that was the understanding of my vision that I grew up with, that I just have to wear my glasses or my contacts, get the vision in that strong eye as close to 20/20 as I can, be really careful around safety hazards and sports and other moving objects, because if that right eye gets taken out, that's it. You're permanently low vision. You're permanently functionally blind. That would be it. And this visual disability and dysfunction for you is actually completely permanent. It's not correctable. It's not healable. It's not fixable. It just is what it is. These are actually common conditions for many children and adults globally. The official medical terms I got were optic atrophy, strabismus, and amblyopia. And all the doctors could essentially say was, there's nothing we can do. She's never going to be able to use this left eye or have her eyes function together. But what we can do is we can just do a cosmetic surgery. We can do a surgery to fix the visual appearance, adjust the muscles of the left eye so that it's not visually obvious that the two of her eyes are not working together. So I had multiple surgeries before the age of 10 just to cosmetically correct the appearance. But it didn't change the fact that I was still functionally half blind and fully stereo blind. And I learned to adjust and live with this and grew up thinking of it as pretty much normal. The entire left side of my field of vision was very diminished, so I was aware I had a big blind spot in that area. So I was used to bumping into things on that side, running into people. With the stereo blindness, I was used to having a hard time navigating crowded places, going up and down stairs, being able to perceive heights and elevation and distance. I just adjusted and adapted as best as I could, and so did my family, because there was nothing else that could be done. Probably the biggest change for me in terms of lifestyle growing up and becoming an adult is that I never learned how to drive. I was aware that there were certain accommodations and adjustments and other things that I could do to sort of compensate for my visual limits. But I had to literally lie on the vision test just to get my permit, and it never really truly felt safe for me to be out on the roads. And I'm sure there are many people with this condition who have adapted to an extent and are still able to drive, but it just was always very clear that that was not for me. And so I had an understanding from childhood into early adulthood that this is just how my vision is. This is always how it's gonna be. I should be grateful because at least I have some amount of vision that can be corrected to 20/20, and no one can visually look at me and tell that my left eye isn't working. So I just have to accept this. But that all changed in my late teens and early 20s when I came across this book called Fixing My Gaze by Susan R. Berry. She was a neuroscientist who had also been cross-eyed and stereo blind since a very young age, just like I had. And in this book, she tells a story of how she actually developed full three-dimensional sight from going through holistic vision therapy. And she did this at age 50, which went against all of the currently accepted medical paradigms that once the visual system and the brain has developed, whether it's functional or dysfunctional, it's set in stone. There's no way to change it. If you have a limitation in vision as you're growing up, or something acute happens to you later on in life, where you lose your vision. Like, all that is supposed to be permanent. But her direct experience and this program of visual therapy that she went through proved that this was incorrect about the human body. I first discovered and read this book when I was 17 years old, and it planted the seed of hope in my heart that maybe it was possible to heal and fix my vision. I had lived in the state of Georgia my entire life, but I had gone to an all-girls high school, and there was this women's college that I felt so drawn to continue my education in the state of Massachusetts. I had visited Massachusetts briefly throughout my childhood because we had some family members there, so we would go back and forth between their house, and I'd always felt like there was something about Boston and something about Massachusetts in general that really called to me. So I felt this pull to the state, And I felt this pull to this very specific college. And there are actually two or three women's colleges in this state. And I was very pulled to two of them on the west side of the state in the Pioneer Valley. And the college that I ended up going to just so happened to have a vision therapy clinic that was so close to and so interconnected with the streets and buildings of the campus that it was actually just a 10-minute walk from my dorm. So it seemed like through this strange twist of fate that I would get this opportunity to try and do this therapy that could possibly help me heal my eyes, which the doctors had been telling me was impossible for most of my life. So I got my family on board and did a consult with the doctors there, and I jumped into a full-time program with the vision therapy clinic. We started off by doing diagnostics. I got a new eyeglass prescription from them with a prism lens for the left eye to help with gradually increasing the alignment of both eyes together, the alignment and teamwork of both eyes. And I started this program with both in-clinic time and training to do, and at-home exercises to do on a daily and weekly basis. And so I was going back and forth between classes and exercises and time at the clinic, but it wasn't too hard to integrate into student life because of how close it was. And everybody at the clinic was just so kind and treated me with true care. There were a lot of child patients at the clinic along with some adults. And so it was very often that I would find myself in the same room as the clinic doing a similar exercise to a child. And I wasn't necessarily doing it any better than they were. I remember sitting with one of the technicians in the clinic and her handing me a children's book, like a large print picture book, and wanting me to just read with my left eye, my weaker eye. And I remember actually how difficult that was and how I could barely even focus on the lines and distinguish the letters, even with there only being like 3 or 4 or 5 lines on the entire page. And I remember being like, oh my God, wow. And I remember being like, wow, this is a real disability. Like, I literally cannot see with this eye. I was so used to just compensating and working around it that I didn't realize how bad it actually was. It took me doing these exercises for it to really hit home that my vision in the left eye was that bad. So I feel like I also went through this grieving process that was new to me of never actually processing the loss of my vision to begin with. Now, during the time of me actively participating in this program, there were a lot of things that started to coalesce, and there are a lot of different factors that started to converge and sort of descend my timeline all at once. Things at school were getting progressively more and more dramatic. Things in the world were getting progressively more dramatic. My mental and emotional health was going steeply downhill. My schoolwork was ramping up. I had chosen, finally settled into a writing intensive major. So I was reading and watching things and researching and writing a lot on the computer, continuing to wear my prism glasses full time, continuing to do the exercises as much as I could. And things were also changing with my family financially, which the vision therapy program, none of it was covered by insurance because it was not considered to be medically proven to be effective, or at least not to insurance level standards. And I actually can't say whether this was connected to the vision therapy program itself, whether it was a combination of all of the other visual work that I was doing, the heavy course load and all the reading, all the work on the computer. I found out later that I had a sensitivity to blue light, which could have been a factor. And then there were other things going on with my physical health that could have been a factor as well. But what ended up happening is that I started to get these migraines that would come on very quickly and last for hours and hours. The only way to get rid of them was, you know, just lay in the dark, turn off all visual input, and rest my eyes and wait for it to go away. I don't remember ever having migraines at any point in my life up until then, but they started to come on, and then it increased in frequency more and more until I was having a migraine every single day, twice a day. And it got to the point where I actually could not look at any type of screen for more than 5 or 10, 15 minutes before it would trigger a migraine for me. And so there was actually a point in my life where it was like, okay, no TV, no video games, very limited computer, phone use. Like, even with stuff like texting my friends, I was registered with the disability office at my campus, and I actually had to go through them to get accommodations. I had to actually get dictation software to finish my finals one semester when this had really ramped up to a peak. I had to dictate all my essays to be able to write them and turn them in on time. So that was insane. I had plenty of other stuff on my plate that I was trying to juggle and manage. I was preparing to graduate and trying to figure out what I was going to do with myself, do with my degree. My family was being financially strained by the cost of the vision therapy, and it eventually just all reached this boiling point where I was like, I don't think I can keep going with this. And it was really, really, really sad. It was really, really, really heartbreaking. And my mental health, like the way that my brain was retaining and storing memory, like I really do not remember a lot about how the time frame of this went or anything like that, like the actual timeline specifics. I remember around the time that I was fully graduating from college, like I remember them giving me tools and being like, you know, like you can keep going with these exercises wherever you go from here. You can keep doing the at-home exercises as much as you can. We can refer you to this clinic that's in Boston or like this other place, because I moved after college from the Pioneer Valley to the Boston area and started looking for jobs there. But I had just gotten to the point, like immediately after graduating, like I was beyond burnt out. I was beyond exhausted. I was just in this very deep and dark place of total and complete depression and grief and despair, to the point where I was having a hard time making myself do anything at all, even the very small and simple things. The executive dysfunction was so bad because I had been formally diagnosed with ADHD during this time and other traumatic stuff that was happening. It was very hard for me to keep myself focused and disciplined and motivated and productive in those conventional ways. So I knew that as soon as I stepped out of this program structure for the vision therapy, that I wasn't going to be able to continue it with my own effort and motivation. Like, my mental health was just nowhere near being able to do that for myself, even on ADHD medication. So I had to let it all completely go. And it felt like that seed of hope that had been planted in my heart that my vision could one day fully heal. It felt like that just completely withered up and died. And I honestly was at a point where I didn't feel hope or joy or happiness around anything in my life at all, with the exception of maybe my relationship that I was in at the time. I was just at this point of just complete and utter despair and hopelessness for myself. And every time I thought about my eyes, every time I thought about my vision, like, it just reinforced that for me. I was like, this is never gonna change. Nothing in the world is ever gonna change. Nothing with my eyes is ever gonna change. I have no idea where my life is even going from this point. And I'm having a hard time even mustering up the energy to care. Like, I just could barely move and barely function and barely think after what I'd been through. Not just the migraines and the normal stress of a big life transition, graduating college, but just everything else just weighing me down to the point where I literally couldn't. I literally felt paralyzed by anguish and despair. And it was at this complete and absolute rock bottom for me that I experienced my first ever genuine supernatural miracle. It was July 15th, 2017. I'm really bad with dates, so the only reason that I remember it was that specific date is because that date is also my mother's birthday. It was 2 months after I graduated college, and I had just moved into this small, terrible apartment in the middle of Jamaica Plain in Boston. It was on one of the main streets of the neighborhood, and it was the top floor of a multi-use building upstairs from an Irish pub. And I remember I had a very, very shady landlord who kept giving us the wrong phone number to contact him, and a little bit of an unhinged roommate who was someone I had also shared a dorm with in college, who neglected to tell me until after I had already moved in that there were rats in the apartment, and also that she had a phobia of paper towels, so I wasn't allowed to bring in or use any paper towels. I was sitting in my tiny little room with this view of the main street and the buildings directly across and all the people walking by. And during that time, I was mainly just like laid out, completely devastated and exhausted, trying to recover from everything I had been through in the senior year, applying to jobs, and then lying around in depression and misery the rest of the time. I also had reverse seasonal depression, like the summer version of seasonal depression, and it was super hot out and bright out, and it just made me feel so miserable. And on this particular day, for whatever reason, I had decided to do something spiritual. I had decided to do a meditation, specifically a higher self meditation, because I was exploring my spirituality kind of vaguely, kind of casually. I was super interested in a lot of the light worker stuff and the 5D ascension kind of stuff. So I decided to do this meditation. So I'm sitting crisscross. I'm sitting up in my bed with my legs crossed, eyes closed, just present and focusing and trying to connect. I don't think I'd ever done specifically a higher self meditation before. I'd done regular meditations a lot. But I don't even think I finished the meditation or got into the meditation, because at some point while I was sitting still and being present and drawing this attention to my body and my mind and my soul, I started to feel this presence in the room. And this is something that's kind of difficult to explain to anyone who's never experienced it. It's like the feeling that you get when someone is standing very close behind you and they're not touching you, but you can still tell that they're there. It's like you can feel a presence, like there's like a density to that particular space around your body that you can kind of sense, even though you're not literally feeling their body heat or having them touch you or even visually seeing them. So it was a subtle but distinct presence in the room with me, like that, like just this feeling that something was there in a specific part of the spiritual atmosphere around me, in the room with me. And at the same time, I also started to hear something that was also very subtle, but still distinct. It was like a noise, a sound, a tone that is so faint and thin that it's at the very edge of your hearing, but still there. And you're kind of like, am I imagining that? Am I actually hearing that? Are my ears just ringing? What was it? What is this? But it was this very faint sound that the only way I can describe it is like heavenly tones. It was like that, like when those stereotypical choirs, like the angelic choir, sing in the movies, or like when like a symphony of instruments plays those like very high angelic tones and notes like all together. It's like this very high pitched, very faint harmony, like this angelic background music that I suddenly became aware of, like playing faintly off in the distance somewhere. And the way my room was set up, like I could hear cars driving past, and I would often hear the music that they were playing through their open windows. It was almost like that, like a car that's playing music and then it gets further and further and further away to the point where you almost can't hear it, but you can still hear the music. It was like that. So all of a sudden, I'm hearing these very faint, heavenly sounding tones, and I'm feeling this very subtle presence in the room with me, where I'm opening my eyes and I'm looking at that spot where I'm feeling this, and nothing is visually there, but I can feel still with my senses, like in my body, I can feel there's something there. And it felt peaceful. Like I didn't feel afraid. I didn't feel suspicious. I wasn't like, oh my God, what's going on? Like I felt calm and I felt curious. And so I start talking to it. I really didn't know what it could be. I didn't know anything about spirits or entities or stuff like that. Like I read a couple things that were like channelings from like the Galactic Federation and other like galactic groups, but I didn't know anything else. And the heavenly tones that I was just so faintly hearing, they made me think of angels. So I was like, are you an angel? And I felt this pulse of response in this being, like it was talking back to me. And I didn't know anything. I'm like, well, are you a healing angel? Like, are you Archangel Raphael, the angel of healing? Because again, what do I know about the angelic hierarchy, right? If you're spiritual, like they just teach, like they just tell you, you know, work with the angels, work with the archangels. Like this angel's for this, and this archangel does that, and this archangel does that, and you can call on him, like, call on Archangel Michael for this, call on Archangel Raphael for this, call on Archangel Gabriel for this. And it's like, okay, is that actually true? Maybe not. But anyways, that was what I knew at the time. So I was like, are you an angel of healing, or are you Archangel Raphael? Like, do you heal? And I get this pulse of response. Again, no words, just the feeling of this responsive energy pulsing towards me, answering the question. And I'm like, well, if you are an angel, can you heal my eyes? And as soon as that very last word left my mouth, I immediately felt this very gentle but physical tugging on my eyelashes. And then I started to feel this gentle and warm tingling wave of energy, repeated waves of energy start to run from this pulling on my eyelashes that's happening from my left eye all the way into the back of my brain. And it's these waves of tingling energy that are just running and running and running as this pulling of the eyelashes on my left side continues. These waves of energy continue to run for a couple minutes, and after that, the sensation expands. Another sensation starts to come in. I start to feel like the muscles in my left eye are being pulled inwards. And it was a very specific feeling that I was familiar with because I'd had the eye surgeries. And I remembered the first one I was too young to remember, but the second one I remembered being in recovery and feeling all this soreness deep at the back and the sides of my eye socket, specifically where the eye muscles were that they cut into and moved around. So I knew exactly where the eye muscles were. I knew the feeling of where they were, where the surgery had happened. And so I felt in that same area around my eye socket, I felt this pulling, and I felt my eye itself. I felt my left eye, the pupil of my left eye, like the gaze of my left eye being pulled inward as well. And this is also starting to happen in the right eye. I'm feeling the right eye, the muscles in the right eye start to be gently but firmly moved as well. And it felt like my gaze was actively being aligned in each eye, with the muscles being tugged in the direction that they needed to go to come into alignment. And this continued for a while until this point where all the sensations stopped. And I couldn't say whether this took minutes or hours. I was just so focused on feeling and experiencing these sensations that it immediately started happening to me out of nowhere. But after a while, I opened my eyes and started to look around. And from that very instant, I started to see in three-dimensional vision for the very first time. And this was undeniable, unmistakable, unimaginable for me. Undeniable because I had quite literally never seen it before, ever. My vision had always been two-dimensional and always been flat. So I was looking around the exact same room that I had been in, that I was familiar with, and it was exactly the same, and also it was completely different. I could look up and I could see that the ceiling had this height in this great expanse of space above me that was just sweeping upwards. Like, I could see the space between the top of my head and the ceiling. I got up and I went out and I looked in the hallway, and I could see the space of the hallway extending forward, like this vast rectangular cube, this vast extended cube of space pushing outwards from the point where I was gazing from. I went and I looked in the bathroom and I saw the space underneath the curve of the sink. And everything, it was like all of these normal, familiar household items and structures were just jumping towards me or jumping away from me or jumping to the side of me. Like, I was having an experience of space that was visually dynamic, an experience of space in depth, in architecture that was visually dynamic for the very first time. And probably the first thing that I did is called my mother and I told her, and she was so happy. The next thing that I did is I called my girlfriend and she ended up coming over that day or the next day. And we went to one of the public gardens in the city. And I just remember walking out on the path and looking up at the trees and seeing the actual height of the tree, how tall the tree was, and how long the branches were. And I remember being so enthralled and fascinated by being able to see how all the branches formed this intricate web where each branch had its precise position in space. And I wasn't just looking up at the tree branches and seeing this intertangled, flat, visual mess of what I logically knew were separate branches, but I couldn't see the separation. This is the first time I was actually seeing the separation and the placement of everything. My MacBook just went into its screensaver mode, which is literally trees. So that's a helpful visual cue. This happened in the last take too, at this exact time of me starting to talk about the trees. So that's fascinating. I remember looking at the flowers and just literally bursting into tears because of how beautiful the flowers were, with this whole extra dimensionality to them and how their petals truly did flourish out and curve and pose and invite. Like, it was a level of beauty that I'd never experienced before. All of it was an experience I'd never had before and that I'll never, ever, ever forget. This full three-dimensional vision that I had dreamed of and worked so hard towards and then had to let go of completely had just been instantaneously turned on in my eyes, in my body, out of nowhere. I had these few short, incredible days of experiencing. And after those few short days, it faded away. My vision went back to completely normal, completely flat. My eyes went back to their usual dysfunction, like nothing had ever happened, but I was not the same. I was forever changed. It was this true seeing is believing type of moment where everything within me had instantaneously become attuned. Everything within me had just been instantly activated by the reality of this supernatural healing, by the fact that an instantaneous supernatural healing like this was even possible, by the fact that an angelic being could just show up in my room and do this for me just because I asked. And in this very short amount of time, the timeline of my life became forever split from that moment forward between how I had lived before my miracle and how I started living afterwards, because who I was had fundamentally changed from the person I was before my miracle to the person that I was afterwards. I had gone from this existence as basically the living dead, completely drained and collapsed in my mind and emotions, my heart and my soul, my sense of safety and direction and purpose in the world, into someone who had a mission, someone who had a purpose from those very first moments of supernatural experience onwards. I became someone who was driven by seeking out and understanding the truth of the supernatural, the truth of supernatural healing of the body, the truth of multidimensionality, the truth behind the design of a miracle, what causes and creates a miracle in the body, in the soul, in the spirit, and how to strive for and attain and earn that miracle working power and authority, not just for myself to gain a permanent healing and restoration for my vision, but also to be able to do this for other people. I felt that this was my life purpose. This was a reason why I was alive. And my miracle became the compass that led me into this God-given destiny of supernatural healing and supernatural life. Now I can feel myself getting tired from the outflow of the anointing, and I can tell that this chapter of my life story that I'm telling is coming to an end, but there are a couple points that I want to touch on that are like my wrap-up points, and I think it's 2 points here, just like it was at the beginning. The first is that this physical miracle was not permanent for me, but actually instantaneously in that moment of healing, there were several non-physical and permanent miracles that happened to me. So being at this absolute low point of mental and emotional health with depression, ADHD, racialized trauma, and PTSD type symptoms from what I've been through, all of that. The vast majority of this was instantaneously broken off of me in this moment and stayed gone. And it's been 8 years since this happened. So the depression broke off permanently. The ADHD broke off permanently. I stopped taking my medication, cold turkey. I was on Vyvanse, went completely off, didn't need it anymore. My soul literally came back to life, and I was filled with all of this organic hope and peace and joy for the first time in at least 6 years. And very shortly after this miracle happened, I heard back from a place I had applied to for an interview. They ended up hiring me, and I started my first adult office job, which was the start of another very particular portal of supernatural experiences, an intuitive gift awakening happening after my miracle. But I walked into that office being the literal ray of sunshine when everyone else was miserable. I was so happy. I was so mentally and emotionally stable. I was so energized. I was so optimistic. I was so open-hearted and actually able to love people again, because this miracle really opened up my heart, really resurrected my heart from the grave. I started loving people again. And I spent a year at that job, a year straight at that job, and a little longer, which was 8 hours of computer use 5 days a week with absolutely no migraines whatsoever. And there are other episodes where I'm going to touch on this portal of time that happened afterwards, this point in my life afterwards. And I also think I'm going to go back into what got me in a rock bottom mentally and emotionally to begin with, and what a big deal it was to be resurrected out of it. And having all these mental and emotional conditions just broken off of me, that was not a, I can say now as a light body healer, a soul spirit healer, that was not just me understandably getting really excited about life again. There were actual energetic bondages and bloodline level curses and trauma that were broken off of my soul and spirit as that physical healing work was being done in me. And as a result, they stayed gone from that very moment forwards up until now and continuing on. Spirits of affliction, spirits of heaviness, spirits of despair, evicted, broken off. A complete work of inner healing and deliverance that, again, I wouldn't realize actually until much later, because I was super focused on this crazy physical miracle that had just happened to me and why it hadn't stuck around and what I needed to do to make it happen again. So that was my main focus for like many years after that. But as the years continued on, it became more and more clear. Wait a minute, that was not just a physical miracle that happened. So that's the first point that I wanted to make, that it was both a miracle of the body and also of the soul spirit, that there were multiple miracles that actually happened to me in those moments for the body and the soul and the spirit. And then the second point that I want to make is that the way that God structured and designed this miracle for me was very, very, very intentional. And I actually saw something new today that is helping me realize this. And God is using it to reframe my understanding of, and this retelling of, my life story in real time, my miracle in real time. I was scrolling through my Instagram dash and I saw a reel from this amazing, incredible, supernatural apostle of God. And he was speaking about the very first angelic encounter that he had in this lifetime. And at this point, I've heard and watched like multiple miracle testimonies. I've actually watched videos of people being physically healed like I was right then and there, but at this point I've even been in the room with people receiving physical miracles in real time like I did in churches. But my ears started to perk up when he was talking, because he was describing the first part of his testimony was literally the exact same as mine, and he was telling it in the exact same way that I have been trying to tell the beginning of it as I repeat these takes of just trying to get this episode done. He was like, I felt this presence in the room with me. I was looking around the room and nothing had changed, but I felt a presence there. So that's exactly the same as what happened to me. But from this point, it changed. He said that he heard a voice in his ear, like someone was physically speaking to him. And this voice said, I am an angel of the Lord. And the next thing that happened was that the angel, or the angelic presence right next to him, started to pour living water, supernatural water, etheric water into his body. And when I saw that this morning, I was like, are you freaking kidding me? The angel just told you, hey, I'm an angel of the Lord. Here, have this miraculous thing. Do you know how valuable that would have been to me back then to know, to actually hear from this angelic presence? Yeah, I'm an angel and I'm also from the Lord, your heavenly Father, your maker and creator. You should get to know him maybe. He is the one doing this for you. But that is not how it happened for me. The angel did not speak, did not have anything to say. It just responded to my request of being healed, asking you will receive. And as a result, I didn't know that it was the Lord doing that for me. I didn't know for sure that it was an angel. And that was actually necessary for me to follow the compass onto my path of seeking and searching for the truth, specifically in the supernatural. Seeking and searching for the supernatural truth, starting with spirituality. And that's actually where I needed to go. That was the right mission path for me. There was revelation and wisdom and knowledge that I needed to retrieve and could only retrieve by going directly into, deeper into spirituality from this miracle experience and not being immediately redirected into faith and God relationship. And so I can see now that it was very, very, very intentional for the Father to do it that way, because it wasn't actually time for me to come home to him yet. It was a time for me to seek and explore and experience for myself what the difference is between true supernatural power to heal and do other things, which only comes from the Father, and the counterfeit, the stuff that's based in our own efforts, the stuff that's based in ungodly works and powers, which are usually wielded and accomplished through finding loopholes in God's law to function and operate in the spirit realm. So my miracle was gifted to me in a really, really, really deliberate way, in a way that was separate from encounter with the Father, from giving the credit and glory to the Father, because that was what kickstarted my seeking. And it was also very deliberate and intentional for the physical aspect of the healing to be this impermanent and transient thing, because in the process of me pursuing that one goal, that one dream that I had momentarily experienced, this passion and desire in me for the healing of my eyes actually expanded and grew into the full and complete supernatural healing of all of my body in every single aspect of health and beauty, all of my soul and all of my spirit and all the mental and emotional dimensions, in the full and complete restoration of every single personal wound, personal trauma that I had, alchemizing and transforming all of that into supernatural peace and joy. To not just be satisfied with not being depressed anymore, not having ADHD anymore, to actually experience full and complete mental and emotional stability 24/7, which I absolutely would have believed was impossible up until I experienced it, and the full and complete supernatural healing of my life, full and complete supernatural life, Edenic life, kingdom life, which is a life of continual and expanding and ascending success and victory and growth and purpose and pleasure, without lows with the highs, without increased suffering with the success, without deeper pain with the pleasure. And so I continued on in this dream of healing my eyes, but it's become so much bigger, just as I have become so much transformed into my true self and brought into my true life and into my true destiny from this one experience in my life 8 years ago. So yeah, I think that's it for today. Really excited. First of all, so excited to be done with this. Oh my God. But also really excited for whatever God's gonna give me next to be the next entry in this audio diary. Okay, talk soon.